My guest today is Terry Galson. She's kept chickens in her backyard for 20 years. She's pretty well an expert on it. Her website is called hencam.com, H-E-N-C-A-M.com, where she shares knowledge about her chickens with a worldwide audience. So welcome, Terry.
I'm happy to be here.
And we here at Woman's Word have heard a lot lately about backyard chicken raising. It was quite the controversy a couple years ago in Kingston, and they were trying to get bylaws in place and what have you. And for several reasons, raising chickens yourself can be a very good idea, and for several reasons it can be a very bad idea.
That's true.
It depends on the sort of person you are and what your goals and objectives are and what you're willing to do and what the bylaws are where you are, which differ quite widely from the greater city of Kingston and the surrounding areas, the rural areas. So in summary, what would you say the advantages of raising backyard chickens are? I mean, obviously you get eggs, but not for that long, right?
Well, you get eggs, and the eggs are so far superior to anything you can buy anywhere else that from a cook's perspective, and I've been a professional cook, and I love to cook, from that perspective, it's worth it right there. I love animals, and chickens are charming and funny and delightful things to have in your backyard if you have the right setup. And they're a lot of fun to have around. So you get eggs, you get fun. But just like I say it's fun to have them, not everybody is going to think that a chicken is fun, just like not everybody wants to have a dog in their backyard. So you really have to think through the fact that you can't just love eggs. You also have to love having the animals and caring for the animals, too.
And actually looking after them properly, which can be problematic in a climate like ours where we can get snowstorms with 3 foot of snow on the ground.
Yes, so. And in fact, you have to really watch out. I come from New England, where we also have major storms and a lot of snow and ice, and a lot of the advice online and the things that are being sold to the first-time chicken keepers are really badly designed for these climates. I've seen design books for coops that are really made for Southern California and certainly not for Eastern Canada. You need to have enough space so that the chickens have plenty of space and sunshine if there's a storm and they're indoors for 3 weeks. So a lot of the coops that say good for five chickens, it's good for five chickens that can go outside every day. But if those chickens are going to be inside, it's not a good coop.
That's right, because if you have the chicken coop just to house the chickens overnight, then you have a run outside for them during the day, or if you let them loose in your backyard, what if your backyard has 3 feet of snow?
Right. And another thing, chickens can handle very cold temperatures, so you don't have to have heat, except for you need, but you
for
do have to have running water all the time.
Exactly.
A chicken will die within 2 days if their water is frozen. So you have to be able to have a source of fresh water for them at all times. And chickens do not do well in very cold, wet winds. So if you have the really wet winter conditions, they need to be kept snug and cozy, but at the same time, they need a lot of ventilation. And so your coop has to be designed to have, I like working cupolas on the top. They need to have good ventilation so they're not drafty, but the air inside is fresh and clean. It's not difficult to do. What's difficult is that if you start out with the wrong coop and then need to retrofit it, that's a problem.
Exactly, to try and insulate a coop that was meant for California or Florida or one of those places. So good advice to go to hencam.com, because Terry happens to have some fantastic FAQs there. She has information on all sorts of things, including the very problems you can get with chickens, how to solve the problems, and how to avoid the problems, such as, designing your coop properly to begin with. And also considering predators depending upon where you are. We just had a talk here at the Banry Center, and we were discussing, issues with predators, and unfortunately there's some areas in Kingston and outside of Kingston, you certainly could not keep your chickens out overnight. They have to be locked inside. We have fishers, we have coyotes, we have coy dogs. We have all kinds of predators.
Everyone wants a chicken dinner, and that's the truth. Everyone likes chicken dinner. And it can be devastating when you have losses, but many of the predators are nighttime predators, and so you have to realize that it doesn't matter how secure you think you've built that coop, your chickens still need to be closed in at night. That's a really important thing to recognize. Chickens want to roost at night. They want to be somewhere safe and cozy. You give that to them, and they will go inside.
Well, they also need 14 hours of daylight a day in order to lay, right? And where I came from, I come from Jamaica, and we used to keep large quantities of chickens at one point. I think we had up to maybe 3 dozen, and a very vicious Rhode Island red rooster.
Many people have had that experience.
I have the spur marks. I still have the spur marks on my ankles to this day from that rooster. But we didn't have a problem because in Jamaica, as you know, it's near the equator. Therefore, you're pretty well 50-50 on the light, and the chickens will lay year-round until they get old. And old for a chicken is not old.
No.
Right? But here, of course, it's a completely different story. You really would have to put lighting inside your chicken coop, right?
Well, you know, I believe that eggs are a seasonal product. So I don't worry about the fact that for a couple of months out of the winter, my chickens aren't laying. It usually coincides with the molt. When chickens molt, they lose their feathers. They have about 10,000 of them, and they lose them, and they grow new ones. And when they're growing the new feathers, they don't have the ability to also lay an egg at the same time. So it's okay to me that the chickens take a break in the winter, and then they start up again by February. And they'll start up if you've designed a good coop with windows that let in a lot of sunshine in the morning. Even if they're enclosed because it's winter, they'll still be able to start laying. My chickens start laying by February, end of February, and then they'll lay all the way through until they molt the following fall. And that's fine. That's enough for a backyard chicken. And you mentioned how long chickens live. Chickens, their first year of lay, that is the most productive year they will ever have. Every year after that, it goes down by about 20%. And so, although some chickens can live to be 3 years old, 5 years old, 6 years old, every year you're going to get fewer eggs. Many chickens stop laying by the time they're 3 or 4. And if they do keep laying, so you get one egg a week. I have retired chickens, and they're not doing anything except for hanging out in my backyard. And then I bring, because I don't have a limit, like many city dwellers, urban chicken keepers, I can add more chickens to my flock that are productive and keep the old ones around. I've gotten attached to them.
And if, you know, there is that luxury if you're out in the countryside that maybe you can keep the so-called retired or semi-retired chickens, which is great. But if people are doing it for so-called sustainability purposes, they have to do some, I think, self-examination about that, because is it really sustainable to be feeding a 10-year-old chicken who might be laying 2 eggs a year?
It's not sustainable at all.
It is not sustainable.
And it's not a model that any farmer has ever had.
No.
Even if you look back into the turn of the 20th century, I collect a lot of ephemera and photographs from that time. Chickens were never kept past their second molt. They always went into the stew pot. They're not animals that have ever been used as animals with longevity. And so it's a very new concept to have chickens that are egg layers and then pets. And there's a lot of problems with that. There's a lot of issues that the chickens get as they get older. And I do go into that a lot on my blog and at my website.
And actually, looking at what you have written, I suspect very strongly that we do buy these chickens from these suppliers who have inbred these chickens for now tens of decades of years.
Yes,
now,
indeed.
And they have been bred to lay, and they've been bred to lay the most, you know, for the first 2 years, because that's generally how long the manufacturing farms keep them. I suspect that many of these reproductive issues and cancers that the older chickens are subject to are possibly a result of these genetic manipulations over time. Do you think that they've been bred to lay and not necessarily bred to survive for any length of time?
Well, you know, they've never been bred to survive for any length
of
time.
True, that's true.
In the past, you would have your egg-laying hens, and then when they were done with their most productive year or 2 years at most, they sustain the family by going into the stew pot. And that was just what was expected of this domestic farm animal, that they had a good life for their first 2 years and they were done. And now many people like me, they get attached to the animals and they keep them around. And they do, many of them do get health issues. And so you have to be aware of that. You also have to be aware that if you're going into it solely because you want to have your own very private, sustainable source of food, that you need to think through, what are you going to do when that chicken is not as productive? And I can tell you, it's a lot easier to have 200 chickens and process all of them than to have three chickens. You know, one is named Mabel and one is named Veronica, oh, and yeah. then you get attached to them. And it's a lot. It's yeah, a
you,
lot harder in real life than
the
on
chicken,
paper.
You may not want to name the chicken. Right? This is the problem. I mean, we had three dozen chickens, so it wasn't. You know, we didn't really name them except
right.
for darn Rooster, who was there in perpetuity. I don't know.
Well, I just have to say about roosters that roosters are totally unnecessary for egg laying. Chickens will lay every day without a rooster around, and they're going to be really happy not to have that rooster around. Some people keep roosters because they are free-ranging their chickens, and
yes.
they believe that the rooster is going to be a first warning about predators
Absolutely.
Coming.
Absolutely.
But I know yeah. plenty of people who have had roosters and their chickens taken by predators.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
not a guarantee that that rooster is going to truly
well,
protect your flock.
I guess our particular backyard rooster, I would have put him up against virtually anything. Oh, dear. But yeah, that is true. It's good to know that you don't need a rooster in order to get eggs,
you
for
don't.
Sure. And as a matter of fact, it's a liability, because then you can get fertile eggs and then you'd end up with baby chicks. And what would you do with those? You know, people may want to see the circle of life, but the fact of the matter is, then what do you do with these little chickens? You know, you may get half roosters, half hens, and are you prepared to eat the little roosters, you know?
That's
this
right.
is the problem. If you're going to show your kids these cute baby chicks, how are you going to end up with one on the table, right?
That's right. That's right. It's any time that you're thinking about bringing some sort of animal in your life, whether it's a pet or it's a larger animal or like a horse, or if it's even a chicken, you have to really think through the entire life cycle.
Exactly.
You have to think what you anticipate getting from it and what's right by that animal. And it's up to us to always think it through and to do what's right by the animal, and also by what's right for the purpose of that animal that's mm-hmm. in our lives,
and what you can afford as well. But you do have to think through the whole life cycle, and if you are going to be very treat the chickens very humanely and everything, but not consider them pets and truly have a sustainable backyard chicken practice, you really have to be aware that you're going to have to harvest these chickens at the age of 2 or 3, and perhaps 2, because in my memory you don't want to eat a hen past 3, right?
I mean, no, you don't.
Pretty well 2 is the max to get
But,
meat.
You know,
from
but
the hen.
Even if you're not going into this from
yeah.
a farmer's perspective, even if you're going into this saying, all I want is eggs, I'm never going to eat my chickens, I'm going to let them live out their lives, they can retire. This is what I do. I have 8-year-old chickens in my backyard, but I've also had many chickens that have died before 8. And chickens express illness differently than mammals do, than animals that we're used to interacting with.
Yes.
They don't have the same sort of look in their eyes. They don't have the facial expressions. They don't walk around looking miserable the way we expect an animal that's done. And we have to make the humane decision about what we do for these animals at the end of their lives.
Yeah, does it have a quality of life anymore, or is it suffering?
That's right, and it's hard to judge when a chicken is suffering. And in my experience, way too often we misjudge that. And it's only after 20 years of chicken keeping experience and being very careful and thoughtful about the end of each and every one of my chickens' lives, and actually doing necropsies and finding out why has this chicken died, that I've come to the conclusions that I've had, that I share with people about when it's right to humanely euthanize them, when it's right to say this animal is done. And it's hard and it's sad and it's difficult. But if you go into animal keeping, it's something that you really must face to be good, thoughtful, and caring caregiver.
That's right. And if you are not capable or don't know somebody who is capable of euthanizing the chicken humanely, then you have to face the fact that you are going to have to pay a vet, and that unfortunately, unless the vet is very experienced and is actually a farm vet, it may not be that humane, as you have found out. You know, you can't find a vein on a dehydrated chicken particularly easily, right?
Right. Well, this conversation is definitely going into the difficult part, I do think it's important, because people go into chicken keeping thinking
starry-eyed.
The first thing they're starry-eyed about, of course, is that they're going to have these beautiful ornamental chickens, and chickens are beautiful and ornamental, but they imagine them traipsing about their garden being beautiful and ornamental, and the fact is that chickens love to dig dust holes, they love to eat your plants, they make a total mess of your garden.
Even grass.
They eat grass, and so a lot of keeping chickens is management and planning, and I have a beautiful garden, and I also have beautiful chickens, and I very carefully let them in interact. I mean, the chickens are really good at, they've gotten rid of all of my Japanese beetles.
Oh, yes, they eat insects.
They love Japanese beetles, but I have to let them out at a certain time, or they'll also eat my roses, the chickens.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of thoughtful management that you can do, so that you can go from the, oh, I love the idea of chickens, to actually integrating them into a backyard and into your life, and then figuring out, as we've been discussing, what you do at the end of their lives. It's really very different than other pet keeping. It's really very different. They're domestic farm animals, and but at the same time, you get attached to them, just the way it always has been with farmers who live closely with their animals.
That's right. Before the era of the factory farm,
That's right.
Although they had to be very hard-nosed about it. You know, one day you'd wake up and Bessie wouldn't be there, because Bessie was going to be next winter's provisions.
It's hard, and at the same time, you knew that the life that animal had was
quality.
As good, was a quality life.
Yeah.
And that you did right by that animal all the way up to the end. And I think that of all of the complicated choices that we make in this modern world, that having backyard chickens allows you to do that. And that's a good thing. It's a valuable thing.
And I think if you live in an urban area versus a rural area, you do live in a rural area, so you are able to keep your grandparent chickens, etc., your ones that barely are laying anymore, with not very much in the way of extra food to feed them with, etc. You're able to do that and still have eggs by getting new chickens in. But if you are in an urban setting, you need to check your bylaws very carefully to see your limitation with respect to numbers of chickens, because in reality, in order to have a good quantity of eggs for a family, after the first couple of years, you'd pretty well have to get new chickens after every 3 years or so, and you might end up with a dozen chickens instead of three.
You can stagger. One thing to do, if some communities allow five chickens, you can say, I'm going to get three chickens for the first 2 years, and then add
another
two chickens.
Another two, exactly.
That's a possibility. But there are hard decisions down the road.
Yeah, and the thing is also, as you found out, which I found very disturbing, but I told, because I had paid for the budgie to be euthanized humanely, and I'm just wondering what was done to the poor budgie.
Yes.
Because you had described taking it to this vet, and it took the vet 10 minutes to put the poor chicken down, right?
Well, the story was that a friend of mine finally had decided to euthanize her chicken, and yes, she took it to a vet who was not experienced with...
Most vets aren't experienced
with, they're certainly not taught to euthanize chickens, and
no,
that's cool.
Lord, no. Yeah.
And now they're coming across these issues, and it was a difficult thing to see. And so you do have these, end-of-life decisions, and making decisions about what you think is going to be the humane thing might not be the same thing that you would do with another family pet.
Absolutely not. Yeah.
And it's challenging and it's difficult, but I keep in perspective the value that I get from having these animals in my backyard, having these animals in my life, having the fresh eggs on my table.
Which actually have orange yolks as opposed to the, oh my God, the white yolks that you get in the store. It's just
very
gross.
And it's all due to feed.
Yeah.
Healthy chickens that in backyards get a lot of fresh air and exercise and a very varied diet because they're opportunistic eaters.
They eat a lot of insects.
And they eat a lot of, I have a very big vegetable garden, and they eat everything from, you know, squash to tomatoes to pumpkins, and that shows up in the quality of their egg.
Now, just to sustain the chickens, though, say if you are going to keep them in your backyard, you need a good quality. You can't just feed them table scraps. Some people think you can feed them. You can't. You need a chicken mash, right?
Right.
How do you know, I mean, what's the best thing to feed the chicken? And again, I will mention your website. It's hencam.com, because all this information's up on the website. This is just kind of a promo for the website, basically.
Thank you.
But, so if you were going to start out with your backyard chickens, what would you basically get them to eat?
Well, you start with a good quality laying hen pellet or mash. It's commercial feed you get at a feed store. It has everything, really, that a chicken needs in it, except for chickens also need fresh greens, fresh vegetables. This time of year, we're talking at a time when I have one peach tree, which I don't spray. It's really wormy. The chickens love the wormy peaches.
Yeah.
I get the good peaches, and they get the rest of the peaches. So they can have fruit, they can have vegetables as much as they want. What they can't eat over the top are stale bread, pasta, leftover pasta, the empty carbohydrates.
And I've heard that meat isn't, well, I mean, they like worms. You'd think meat would be good.
You know what? They're perfectly happy to eat meat. I know somebody who always has a big crawfish boil once a year, and the chickens love the crawfish.
The
leftovers. What you don't want to do is attract vermin or rats your chicken run. And so although you can feed them leftover scraps, you have to make sure that there's nothing left in the run overnight.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't ever want to feed them anything that sits there and rots or attracts vermin. And so it's just a matter of good management. And also, chickens, if they eat too many empty calories, just like humans, they get diseased and they get fat.
Yeah.
And fat can really impede their ability to lay. And they also get thin-shelled eggs. So the best thing to do is to give them all of your vegetable scraps, your fruit scraps, your leavings from the garden, leftover jack-o'-lantern pumpkins after Halloween. They love those. Go very light on the sort of treats that you and I should go light on, like the cookies.
Yeah.
And most of their diet should come from the commercial pellet.
Now, one thing I know you wanted to emphasize was that it is not a 5 minute a day proposition to have backyard chickens. One thing, you've got to set them up properly, especially in North America, which is where Canada is, and the fact that we've got potentially high snowfalls and low light levels, etc. They've got to have a proper coop, and you do have a design for a proper northern coop on your site, or you have that information.
I do. Yeah. I have a FAQ on design and square footage that you need inside and outside. And I think for people in this area of the country, they're so concerned that their chickens are going to get cold. And so the first thing is, you can get what are called cold hardy breeds. There are chickens that have been designed to live here in Canada. They have smaller combs that don't get frostbite. They have nice thick coats of feathers. And you don't want to give them, you do not have to give them any added heat as long as the coop is well ventilated and dry.
And except for potentially heating the water, unless you're prepared to change it 3 times a day.
That's right. Well, you know, they sell at the feed stores and online. You can get these bases that are electric that the water font sits on. And it's just enough heat to keep the water from freezing. And it also gives just enough heat to keep the coop a tiny bit drier as far as moisture in the air goes. And you have one of those, and that's all you need. You do not need to blast the heater on your chickens at all. Actually, hot weather kills chickens far more than cold.
That's right.
They get heat stroke.
Very well insulated.
Yeah.
So what do you do? I mean, the trouble is, in this particular part of Canada, we actually can go from, you know, minus 35 all the way up to plus 40.
Yes.
So what do you do when it's hot?
Well, your chickens need us to be in shade.
Yeah.
So you need to site your coop. Again, it's management and planning.
Yeah.
Plan to have your coop either in shade or put up a shade tarp.
Yeah.
They appreciate a second source of water in the run, and staying hydrated is essential. Again, I'm back to good ventilation. Good ventilation, as long as there's air flowing through the coop, there's shade, there's water. Places to dust bathe where they can sort of get low into the cooler bit of earth, and they'll be fine.
And I guess another point to make that chickens don't just take 5 minutes a day is you do have to keep the coop clean.
You do.
You do, otherwise they could get very sick because they are prone to respiratory infections and so forth if there's a lot of manure in their coops.
Absolutely. If you set it up right, it's actually quite easy, but you do have to plan to do it. I use pine shaving bedding, and I have a fine-tined pitchfork. And once a week, I just skip it out just the way I would skip out a horse stall. So I do it, and it doesn't take a lot of time, but it is more than just the 5 minutes a day. What you do have to think through is that most of the time, it does only take me a few minutes in the morning and a few minutes at night and half an hour on the weekend. But there are times when it is going to take more time. And you just have to prepare yourself that you're the custodians of these living animals, and it's your responsibility, just
exactly.
Like any other animal
like
in your life.
A dog life. Or a horse or whatever.
Absolutely.
Now, we've only got a couple minutes left. I'd just like you to tell us a little bit about the books that you have. Especially, there's a really lovely book on chickens, right? Tilly Lays an Egg, right?
I have a children's picture book called Tilly Lays an Egg. Mm-hmm. That is a book of fiction. However, there are photographs of my chickens in it. And
oh, nice.
It's a story. And in order to get the chickens to pose in the tableaus, it's sort of like an I Spy Find the Egg
cute.
Book. I actually trained my chickens to pose.
Oh, my
God. They look like spontaneous photographs, but when you look carefully, you'll see that the chickens are trained, which we don't have time to get into here.
Oh, I
How
know.
Do you train a chicken? Just let's say they're very food motivated. I use positive reinforcement and food, and you can get a chicken to do just about anything.
And speaking of food, you've actually got an upcoming recipe book, right? And are you going to notify people on your website when that's ready?
I do, and it will be on my website. I have the Farmstead Egg Guide and Cookbook.
Mm-hmm.
That is 100 egg recipes and a pretty extensive discussion about do you want chickens, and if so, this is how you go about doing it. And that's coming out in March of 2014. And that will be available widely with a big publishing house, Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. And then I also have on my website, I collect vintage photographs, and I have a book of vintage chicken photographs really charming.
And the books that are currently available, people can get them from the website. You will ship to people?
The vintage photograph books I ship, and the other ones are available at bookstores.
Oh, seriously? Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, that's fantastic. Well, again, your website is hencam.com, and actually the reason why it's called hencam.com is, of course, you can actually see the chickens, which is great. There is a hencam.
I have a live streaming webcam.
Exactly.
On three cameras on my chickens and one on my very adorable pet goats.
And it does work. I have seen it, you know. So, Terry, well, thank you so much for coming in today to speak to the Banner Center and to give us your interview on backyard chickens, which is going to be airing on Woman's Word. Thank you so much.
It was really a pleasure.
You've been listening to Woman's Word on CFRC 101.9 FM at Queen's University.